Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about neurofeedback, but more broadly, we're going to talk about the use of technology, computers, and computer programs in the treatment of mental health conditions.
Right.
And neurofeedback is just a great example of that, because neurofeedback is now being used for treating ADHD and post-traumatic stress disorder and anxiety disorders and all kinds of things.
Yep. Autism, even children with autism.
Yeah. So this week, again, we're talking about the use of technology in mental health, in providing mental health treatment or services. So whether it's teletherapy that we talked about yesterday, or it's, again, neurofeedback, or over the next couple of days, we're going to talk about different forms of psychological testing on the computers. And neurofeedback is sort of something that bridges those two things, because neurofeedback can be used as therapy, as a treatment, but it can also be used as an evaluation. So what I think is important to talk about here is the idea that we are getting to a point in our field, in medicine in general, where computers are able to do most of the things that clinicians once did.
I probably disagree with him, but...
But no, we're going to get into the pros and cons of that. We're going to get into the pros and cons of that, because I think that that's a problem. And many times it's a problem. But we are getting to that point.
Yeah, I think there are things that, and we're going to talk about this, I think, tomorrow and the next day. There are things that computers simply do better than we do.
Some things, right.
And I think what where we're headed is there are things that humans do better, and there are things that machines do better.
Right.
Okay. And what we have to do is use the technology where it is superior, where it provides an advantage, and rely on our own skills to do the other things where we perform better than the technology.
So what some of these programs will do, thinking about neurofeedback specifically.
This is a good example where the technology does something that we can't do.
Right. Because what happens here is you, and we had the opportunity to experience one of these a couple weeks ago, where we got hooked up to a system, and we got to watch a movie, a pretty good movie.
Mine was good.
You could choose whatever movie you wanted to watch, and I chose I Am Legend, because, I mean, why not? It's Will Smith, and it's, you know, and you chose
a documentary.
Some kind of documentary.
It's what I watch.
Good gosh.
You watch...
I watch what I watch.
You watch fiction, and you like those characters. What are they called? Superheroes.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was a doctor in that movie, though.
I know, but it's still a superhero.
So yes. But you watch the film, and while you're watching, you have these electrodes connected to you. Not invasive. It didn't.
No.
You know? But it kept track of how well you were focusing and paying attention and all of that. And as you started losing attention, the film on the screen would get darker and this audio would go away. And so you have to reorient and intently focus again, and then it would come back up to bright again.
Yeah, it could tell if you were really paying attention.
Yeah.
And which is really cool.
Yeah.
And that's something we can't do.
Right.
And what you're doing is you're actually exercising certain types of brainwave activity. You're increasing certain types. It's like exercising a muscle.
Right.
You know, if you're lifting weights, you're exercising your bicep. You're making it work harder. And that's what this does, except it's brain activity.
Right.
You know? And in order to pay attention, you have to increase the activity in certain regions of your brain. And so this forces you to do that.
Yeah.
And it keeps track when you're not.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
And the technology is getting very, very good.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
so superior.
10, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. probably, you would have to wear these big caps, and it would have all of these wires connected to it and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, literally it was an electrode here and here and one on your ears,
right.
and that was it.
Yep. Yeah, it's so much easier
to do. You wear these glasses.
Because when I first started to do that, it was mm-hmm. a much more complicated process. Right. The equipment, the hardware, and the software was so much more difficult to use mm-hmm. and to interpret.
Yeah.
Today, it's almost easy. I mean, mm-hmm. you can really learn how to do it very yeah. quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, what it does is it measures some of that brain activity while you're performing some task, even if that yeah. if it's a relatively passive mm-hmm. task of watching mm-hmm. a film. And it helps you, it just brings to your awareness when you're right. focusing and when you're not focusing. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, if you're doing a protocol to look at anxiety, it will look mm-hmm. at your ability to relax and to calm,
right.
you know, some of that excessive mm-hmm. activity. But it's really, again, I think you said it best just a moment ago when you said, you know, that's where technology can do things that we can't
so
do.
So superior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just... You know, there's no way that we can measure that mm-hmm. stuff.
No, we can't measure. We just can't do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
No. And this is so. It's sort of like you've all heard of biofeedback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you get skin conduction or heartbeat. You
right.
know? Well, this is similar to that, except it's brainwaves instead
right.
of heartbeat and skin response. It's brainwaves. Okay. The brain produces four characteristic waves, and mm-hmm. People with ADHD, for example, don't produce enough of one of those.
Mm-hmm.
They don't produce enough energy in those areas of the brain. So this teaches a person how to do that.
Right.
So it's just like exercise. You're going to the gym mm-hmm. to exercise. Here, you're going to the lab to exercise your brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it. Like right when yeah. when you finish.
Yeah.
You know, I found that right afterwards, I felt pretty good. But then mm-hmm. I felt myself getting a little bit fatigued.
Relax,
a little bit.
Right.
And it's because, you know, it is
it does
a workout.
Tire you,
it
right.
it kind of mm-hmm.
it is a workout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really, you know, if you did the entire protocol, which was, you know, mm-hmm. the one that we were doing would be 20 sessions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, people report wonderful
yeah,
results.
It takes 15 to 30 half-hour sessions
mm-hmm.
to feel permanent changes in
right.
your brain. You don't do it with one session. It is a training program,
mm-hmm.
And clearly it's 15 to 30 sessions, so it is a training
right.
program. But it's a promising
yeah.
technology
right.
For people who can't take medication or don't want to take medication or want to enhance what medication is doing.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a wonderful way to do it.
Right. So. One of the, you know, kind of going back to the statement that I made at the beginning of today's podcast that you disagreed with, because we'll talk a little bit more about this in tomorrow's podcast as well. You know, what I think is concerning about some of this is that a lot of professionals are handing over these kinds of, you know, some of our assessments and some of our evaluations and some of our treatments,
right.
handing it over to technology
mm-hmm.
and overly relying on the technology.
Right.
And I think that's really problematic. A neurologist friend of ours, mm-hmm. you know, once said that, you know, today's neurologists would have a difficult time identifying a seizure if it was happening right in front of them unless they had the readout
right.
from the
yeah.
EEG.
Right, because you wouldn't notice it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, we mentioned this yesterday. Our training was very old school, was you know, very clinical. So, you know, we kind of worked really hard early in our training to pick up some of that awareness, some of that understanding, some of that, you know, whether you want to call them soft signs or just observations that you can make, mm-hmm. and you can see certain things about a person as you're talking to them. I think a lot of clinicians today aren't doing that. They're either not trained in that way, mm-hmm. or they don't care to. Right. I don't want to make
no,
it up.
No, but we've been taught to rely on lab
mm-hmm.
results.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best example of that is statin, the drugs for
mm-hmm.
Cholesterol.
Right.
Before statins were invented, the normal cholesterol level was 200 and something.
Right.
Well, now that we have drugs that will lower it, normal statin levels have been reduced, mm-hmm. only because we have the drugs to measure it more precisely. So, you know, I think we are training ourselves. The training programs rely more and more on these precise measurements,
right?
Rather than clinical. What you're talking about is, we were trained to do clinical observations. Mm-hmm. You look at a patient and talk to a patient and make these observations based on experience and knowledge, mm-hmm. rather than just getting a printout from a computer and saying, oh, you have high blood pressure.
Right.
Or you have diabetes, or you have high cholesterol.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're finding that there's more and more, many more nuances to the practice of medicine in general, but certainly psychology, that requires some of that clinical experience.
And we're going to be talking about assessment tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's a good segue to that, because you have to, a clinician, whether it's a physician or a psychologist or whatever, a clinician has to be able to look beyond numbers to think about the person, the person who's being measured.
Right.
And that's what we keep advocating here, is that you have to know something beyond the numbers. The number itself is simply a piece of information that you use to construct a bigger picture.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And with that, we will pause until tomorrow.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And tomorrow we'll talk more about psychological testing on computers.
Testing and assessment.
Yes. So
we'll distinguish those two tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.